TV. Got a little delivery from Fanatics.
Yeah, what is it? Jersey? What is this? Look, I love Orchard Park. I had some of my best games there, but this is ridiculous. No, that's actually kind of intimidating. I don't think Bills fans love me very much, but I will say this is a top-tier jersey.
Wait, Tom Brady likes the jersey?
He does.
It's just a white jersey. It's not the rivalry jersey he's signing, right? Somebody just gave him a white Allen jersey. You can't just have the rivalry jersey. It's not available until September 10th, did I see?
September 10th,
Real quick. How's it not available for sale right now?
I don't know.
I signed up to be notified when you could buy the stuff.
Right. Who at Fanatics decided it was a good idea? Hey, how can we sell jerseys? How can we get Bills fans on board with this new jersey? Let's put it in front of Tom Brady and have him sign it. 33-3 versus Bills! ! And put that in front of everybody's face. That's a great marketing move there. What was the goal? So, what a stupid video.
Not a fan?
Of him?
Yeah.
No. I will say he's leaning into being the villain by signing it 33-3 versus Bills. But why are we even... New England had one of these. Put a Patriots jersey in front of him to help sell it.
Was it even really the jersey? I don't think it was the jersey. I think it was just a white, like...
No, it was a white Josh Allen jersey.
The thing intimidating is the shoulder patch. Like, the Bills...
The patch is on there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, this is a real Josh Allen jersey. It's a real Josh Allen jersey. That now exists, by the way. There is a Josh Allen out there jersey in existence. How's everyone feel about that? That is signed Tom Brady on the 1, and then on the 7, it says 33-3 versus Bills.
Yeah, who would do that?
This was an idea of a skit, I guess, to be funny.
How much do you think it was funny? This is Brady?
Maybe. It could, like, it was his idea?
Yes, 100%.
You think it was Brady's idea?
Yeah.
And not somebody else? Like, he just wanted to troll Bills fans?
One thing you can see in the video, which this might be different by the time we can see them on. By the way, good morning, 803-0550. Give us a ring if you want. On the Micah Parsons trade and on the new jersey if you want that as well. The shoulder pads being a little darker because it's supposed to look like snow has fallen on them.
Or ice, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's actually snow. It's supposed to be snow falling on bison's fur.
Okay.
I believe I have that correct. I saw Pete.
I thought it was like frozen lake is what it looked like.
No. The actual graphic, okay. Pete Gwelly tweeted out a graphic, Sabres and Bills COO, about the uniform. That. Yes.
Yeah.
And on the shoulder it says, a cracked ice texture with speckled white resembling fresh snowfall on a bison's fur. That's what that is. So, yes, cracked ice and fresh snowfall.
So it's both kind of.
I guess so, yes.
Okay.
Inside the collar it says Bills Mafia.
I do like that texture on the top and the little bit of a dark. I like it.
Without saying it's the best jersey I've ever seen, I will say it's exactly what I hoped they would do. When the teaser picture came out yesterday and we're left to look at 8, and I don't know if they're all that good. It's exactly what I wanted them to do. Some of the elements that these teams used. So the Bills got fresh snow falling on a bison's fur, like a little subtle detail you might not pick up unless you're looking really close.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle's, the numbers, do you see the numbers?
Mm-hmm.
They have 12s inside of them as a tribute to the 12th man. The Patriots, the numbers on the jerseys are a tribute to the font of naval vessels, ships, and they have fish nets, not like whatever, netting on the shoulder pads on some level. Not exactly fish nets, but you know what I'm trying to say. Fish netting. I feel like I have to say it that way. Anyway, I think these jerseys, they go hard. They're great. I like them, most of them. Even the Jets, although they chose manhole cover as their identity, okay.
He's
been in the sewer for a while, so I guess that works. I'm happy. I'm mainly happy that the Bills are in it. It would feel like missing out if somebody... Imagine if instead of the Bills getting this snow treatment, if somebody like... Where else does it snow? I mean, we're the ones that are going to be known for
Minnesota.
It, even though they have a dome, though.
Right? Chicago.
Sure, if the...
The Packers.
Somebody. Packers,
Green Bay.
Yes.
Green Bay.
If the Packers had done something like this, I'm like, I'd be really jealous. So anyway, 803-0550. I can't believe you can't buy it right away.
The Seahawks jerseys were also supposed to radiate the sound from the stadium. Like, I didn't know. Did I get fooled by that, by the internet?
Yes.
The design was supposed to help reverberate the sound, like in
I think the sound
the uniforms.
The design
is supposed to represent that.
Yes. Supposed to represent. I don't think it's actually supposed to reverberate.
I thought
sound.
I read it was actually going to reverberate it, but how would they do that?
803-0550. Micah Parsons traded. Biggest move of the offseason happens a week before the season begins.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nuts. And now, this Parsons trade, listen, any team or player next year that asks for a trade, threatens a trade, we have to treat more seriously now. Myles Garrett, this offseason, put a full-page goodbye in the newspaper.
Yeah, he did.
Trey Hendrickson had a dramatic drive to Florida, chronicled by Adam Schefter, because he was leaving the Bengals.
Right.
We had all these theatrics with Holdens and Parsons getting traded means that next year, when it's insert player name here, we have to entertain the idea that that player could get traded. Because as soon as you say, he's not getting traded, I'll say Parsons got traded. It's not quite Gretzky got traded, but it is. It will disarm any conversation you say, like, that guy's not getting traded. Like, Micah Parsons got traded.
But couldn't I say back to that, well, that's because Jerry Jones. Do we have to my question would just be, I hope you're right. Do we have to treat Jerry Jones differently than the rest of the league?
Yes. Because the same way we kind of have to treat the Bengals differently than the rest of the league.
Yeah, because I might say, okay, oh, there's a star player holding in. Does he play for the Cowboys? Yeah. No? Then I might be more scared. Maybe you just go owner by owner. Like, that was part of why I thought that Hendrickson could get traded, is that organization strikes me as one that would do that. They would move on from the highly paid player and not pay him. They did kind of pay him, not on a long-term deal, but they paused that for a year. But like, if a star player in Minnesota is holding out in a year, should I believe that the Vikings owner and the GM is going to do that because Dallas did? I'm not trying to fight against it. Yeah. I want to believe that these can actually happen. And it is some evidence that, yes, you just might need a crazy guy running the team. And there are crazy guys running teams around the league. There's Gettlemans out there still.
Doesn't it feel like every GM put a note in their phone, like a reminder, a week before the deadline, call Jerry Jones?
I would just want to talk to him every day.
Always be calling him and seeing what he'll trade.
Just every day have a conversation with him and just see what comes about. Every day. When we were talking about whether they should trade James Cook or not, I'm like, just call Dallas. If you want to do that, call Dallas. Maybe they'll give you a first-round pick. Who knows?
Yeah, right. Micah Parsons.
But how many teams can you do that with? I mean, like, I'm not doing that with Philadelphia, right? I'm not calling Howie Roseman and expecting to get their best player.
That's right. The Eagles, of course, knocked the snot out of the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Here's the Packers getting Micah Parsons. Here's a fun one for you. Maybe it's too presumptuous to go this far, but should Bills fans monitor the NFC? Should we be thinking about that?
I don't think so.
No,
I mean,
because it's only one game against that team, and if you get there, it's mission accomplished.
I think that's part of the reason.
Because we're obsessed with the Chiefs, and there's fear bunkers on the Bengals to a degree, and the Ravens are right there. We've got 3-4 AFC teams we are constantly talking about. And here, the NFC, the Eagles did win it. They've won it twice in the last couple of years. They are talked about as a top-tier franchise. They have all these great players. Here's Green Bay adding another one. Here's Detroit, who's kind of had a similar fate to the Bills last couple seasons. Not as many appearances, but an NFC championship game, heartbreak, a loss in the divisional round. You don't think about the NFC?
If they had already been to the Super Bowl,
you would then do it?
And lost. And I'd have physical evidence that they can get through the AFC, through Kansas City, through Cincinnati, if it came to it, but more so the Chiefs, then yes, I think this would be more of a thing for me. Like, okay, I might see that team. I might see this player. I think, right, part of it is you asked about, like, would fans take that, a loss to Green Bay in the Super Bowl? The fact that I might take that is why I'm not monitoring the NFC, is the thing I would have to be worried about down the road. I'm not even sure I'll be that upset. Well, that upset about it, that I should be worried about it. Of course, he'd be upset about it, right? Like, the experience of actually losing in a Super Bowl and being that close, I'm sure, is way, way larger than I'm making it sound. But, like, that would be a win, I think. Making it to the Super Bowl in general would feel like another step forward, because it would feel like you beat the boogeyman. You at least did that. And that's going to have everybody believing that you can now actually do it. And there are still some that I'm sure believe they'll never do it because they can't get past this team in this conference. And if they've done that, then I could start turning my attention, I think, to Green Bay and to Philadelphia and to Detroit and San Francisco maybe. But not until they make it. I think they've got to make it. Because it'd be different. Maybe Philly could be different for this. It'd be different if there was a super team over there. And
let me give you your comparison.
There's a team that I think is definitely better than everything that I'm going to face over here.
Is your comparison here, you're looking for the Niners and how they think about the Chiefs?
Yes,
they've
exactly.
lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl twice.
Yeah, that would be it. Or I'm thinking back to even when the Sabres were great in 2007, in that whole season and through the playoffs. What's the team I'm thinking about? Anaheim. Why? Because they were better than anything I was going to face in the East playoffs. There was a team over there that I know that's the best thing I'm going to face if I get there. And right now, the way the NFL is set up, I'm not sure that that's true. That you could look over at the NFC and say, the best thing I'm going to face is over there. Maybe you could do that with the Eagles. I'm not doing it with the Packers, though. I like the Packers a lot this year, but if the Bills make it to the Super Bowl, I'd bet they beat a better team than Green Bay on the way. I think Baltimore's a better team going in. Maybe that's it.
And Packers
at least one.
We'll see. The Packers are
they're good. They're the second leading favorite to win the NFC right now.
How much are their odds?
How about that?
How much of their odds move?
They moved a lot.
Okay.
Which usually doesn't happen. Well, usually doesn't happen in an individual game for a non-quarterback, but they were what were they yesterday? Well, they certainly weren't favored. And today they are now favored to win the division. So, the Parsons trade has vaulted them above Detroit in the odds to win the NFC North. So they did move. I mean, as much as you'll ever see them move for a non-quarterback move for the season. Also, the Cowboys line, I guess, moved for next week against the Eagles. So there was definitely some movement. I think they're great. I mean, they were kind of like the Bills to me in that they have a bunch of pretty good players. I think the Bills' pretty good players may be a little bit better than Green Bay's, but and the Bills' quarterback is obviously better than Green Bay's. But they were a kind of a, you know, all-around good team that is lacking the superstar. And now they've got the superstar. So it's hard to not like them. I don't even know where I would start. Like, I just think they've got a good, complete team. I like the coach a lot. They've got an elite pass rusher. I like the quarterback. So maybe that's a difference between some. I like Jordan Love a lot. I mean, I could see betting them to win it. It's such a tough division, though. Like, the odds of them going on the road are just they're strong just because you have three other good teams in your own division. You could be great all you want, and a bounce goes against you, and you're opening the playoffs on the road now just because you play in the NFC North.
Josh, you get Bill Simmons. I sent you Bill Simmons. Sorry to do this right now. You talk about the one seed, get it, you know, here we're at the Super Bowl. You hear Bill Simmons said about the Bills?
No.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't think so, though.
We'll play this at some point. We'll get it later. It's a funny comment. It's about the one seed. He basically, in so many words, said, we'll play his comment because we'll make fun of the way that he said it, which is, I can't believe you might believe it, but that things have fallen for the Bills this year on the schedule. They don't play a road team over 500, probably. There might not be a single team on the road that's over 500 that they play. Atlanta might have the best chance at that. Is that right?
Houston.
New England, Houston, Atlanta. Those are the three teams that have a good look at being over 500 on the
road.
And
maybe Pittsburgh.
Okay.
But none of those teams have to go over 500.
No, that's right. Those are your four toughest road games.
Yeah, if you ranked their opponents by strength, are the top five at home?
Yeah, which road game are they most likely to lose? You see in a crystal ball and you find out the Bills go 7-1 on the road this year. Where do they lose?
It's a good question.
It's a division game. Houston, Pittsburgh, Cleveland.
Yeah, that's not happening. Miami.
Carolina.
Carolina.
Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Pick a road game for them to lose. Find it. It's tough.
Yeah, I don't have a good answer. Like, it would be... Yeah, I guess I would say New England in week 15 because just the odds that they could take a huge step forward. Because I don't see Houston being much different than they were last year. And the Bills... Houston last year, they beat the Bills at home. So, you know, we've seen that. But what did it look like? The Bills had Josh Allen 9 of 31, whatever the numbers was, the least efficient day by completion percentage that a quarterback has had with that many passes in like 30 years. Totally incompetent on offense, throwing the ball. And it took a 60-yard field goal to beat them at the end. Like, they still almost won the game, playing as bad as they could on offense. So I'm not going to Houston. I'll never pick Miami. I mean, Pittsburgh, just because it could be dumb, right? Pittsburgh winning a dumb, low-scoring game, and it's the way that Pittsburgh usually wins. They block a kick, they get a fumble that goes their way, and they win 16-14, or against the Bills, maybe more like 21-20. I'll say Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's wow. Their most likely loss, because they're dumb. It's a dumb team. They win in dumb ways.
We talked to Christopher Carter yesterday in Pittsburgh. What's the successful season for the Steelers? He said 11 wins, wild card, and getting an easier matchup in the first round. Like, that's a good – maybe win a game. And that would be seen as a good year for them.
Yeah, because they're approaching on a decade now without winning a playoff game.
Yeah, so, like, they're getting and you're – everybody's got a drought, right? Everybody's got their own battle. Everybody's got a drought.
Everybody's got a drought?
Everybody's got some drought.
What's Kansas City's drought?
1 year without the Super Bowl. It's not really a terrible drought, but Everybody's got a drought. I guess the Bengals have a 2-year playoff drought.
The Bills' drought is just not going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it is now, right? It's been 32 years?
Yeah. 32 years.
A long time.
I mean, it's longer than I've been around. So, yeah. What is what's Baltimore's drought?
Baltimore's
same
drought.
Thing?
Sure.
Who's got the worst one?
The Jets or the Dolphins.
I think Pittsburgh's drought might be worse than the Jets' drought.
It's not. The Jets have the longest playoff drought in North American sports. It's worse than the Sabres.
But just knowing that I'm going to go to a playoff game and just get my butt kicked every single year and cause that, like, just know that that's going to cause things to be the same. It probably isn't better, but at least you feel like you could live a little when you, like, oh, I could fire a coach or I could get a new quarterback and I could do this and I can get a new GM. And in Pittsburgh, it's like, no, we're just going to do the same thing again. And then we'll do the same thing next year and we'll do the same thing the year after that and the same thing the year after that.
Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins and the Jets both have worse droughts. The Dolphins haven't won a playoff game since.
That might be the worst one. They haven't won a playoff game since 1999, I believe.
The 2000. It was in the calendar year 2000, but the 99 season.
Marino. Right? Is that still Marino?
The 2000 AFC wildcard game? I don't think so.
Okay. They won over... Wait a minute. Is this correct?
They beat the Colts in 2000.
Okay.
Lamar,
1 year off.
Lamar Smith had a big day on the ground, if I remember correctly.
No, the wildcard game in 2000 for them, it was... It was
Jay Fiedler. That's their last playoff win.
Okay. I'm one year off. So that's 2001.
They beat Peyton Manning. Lamar Smith had 209 rushing yards and two touchdowns.
They also beat Seattle in a playoff game in 2000. And that would have been hilarious if their last playoff win was over the Seahawks.
That's right.
Who, like, how many people listening even know they were in the AFC at one point in time? But yeah, there's one more year in there.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Are you jealous of Green Bay in any way? I mean, the Packers' resume... Here's a potential comparison. Is this their Diggs move, Green Bay? It's their, hey, we're good. It's time to go in big for a four or five-year window. This is our, not that it's the perfect comparison because they trade two firsts and a player, but.
But it's their first big all-in move.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. We are already good, and we have an opportunity to say, let's win a Super Bowl. That's what this trade is about.
I think that is, because that's what the Diggs move was a sign
I thought of, all right, let's go.
We're ready.
It's go time. Yeah. We're gonna win for real now. Like, we've made the playoffs, but now we gotta win big. They trade for Diggs. That, I mean, Green Bay won a playoff game, right? Did they win one last year? They won one 2 years ago.
They lost to the Eagles last year.
Did they?
Oh, they don't remember that. They lost to the Rams. I don't know.
But either way, they smoked the Cowboys 2 years ago. I remember that. Yeah, they lost to the Eagles in the wild card round last year. So they're basically in the same. They're basically in the same, very similar spot to where the Bills were at that time. So, yeah, it's more their Diggs move than their Vaughn move, right?
Yeah, I mean,
the Vaughn move is I just need one last thing, finishing touch. They probably need another one of those at some point. But this is the, all right, now we're going to be like a legit Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I mean,
as long as these two guys are going.
That's right. It's way bigger than the Vaughn move. The Vaughn move is a 6-year contract that you're hoping something goes well in the first 2 years of it.
Yeah.
And it just kind of didn't because of the injury. Whereas
this guy you're hoping plays for 10 years for you and makes the Hall of Fame and is an all-time great.
100%. Like, this is.
You're hoping he's Reggie White.
This is, if it doesn't work out this year, that's fine. Now you have a player to build around, right? Franchise, cornerstone kind of guy. Defensively.
How about a star player choosing to go to Green Bay, by the way?
Why wouldn't you?
You guys just don't do it very often, do they? Going to Green Bay?
Reggie White did.
That was a long time ago. I saw yesterday morning, there was an article by, I'll have to get it, but it was like this conspiracy theory that, you know, they had heard that there's a super tight relationship, I guess, between Parsons' agent and the Green Bay GM, and that, like, watch out for these two because they talk all the time and they're like are super friendly with each other. And then sure enough, later in the day after that piece was dropped, Justin Moschetta, who covers the Packers, wrote an article about Micah Parsons and NFL Siberia and why there's talk of the two. That was at 6:03 yesterday morning. And then he got traded to Green Bay later that day. So there might have been some smoke on that already, but it doesn't happen often that star players go there. They never sign top free agents. So good for them.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Happy Friday. I'm ready for one of those Bills I almost called them throwbacks. One of those Bills rivalry uniforms. I think they look great. I think New England's look pretty good.
We have 5 jersey combinations this year for the Bills.
Well, if you go combinations.
Not combinations, yeah, like jerseys.
Blue, colors, blue, white, red,
yeah.
Throwback, and rivalry. If they wear red, there's 5. Is there a throwback one or not a throwback one this year?
They're wearing standing buffalo.
Oh, there's red helmet. Yeah, okay, they're wearing standing buffalo helmet.
Yeah. Well, and the
red helmet.
Yeah.
And the regular. They're wearing 4 helmets this year.
4 helmets, 3 uniforms.
Yeah. Because there's no throwback.
No, there is. Yeah, the 60s uniform looks a little different. So that should be a different uniform. Yeah.
Well, they're going to wear the throwback uniforms in Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's blue, so white, throwback. No red this year? Rivalries instead.
I've seen nothing about them wearing red this year. I feel like I would guess they're not going to wear red, but.
We're going to have Pete Guelli on the show next week. We'll ask him. Full rundown.
Yeah.
803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. Happy Friday. When we come back on Tuesday, it's fall. Get ready. Get hyped.
Because you do that on September 1st.
Yeah, that's I'm sorry, just meteorological fall.
The sun says that September 22nd, though, is when
that is not correct. That's what that's what the stars and the equinoxes said, but that's not what weather, an actual existing on planet Earth, says. Meteorological fall. What do you live by, the stars or the weather? Make your call. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
It felt like the league stacked 2025 for Buffalo a little bit.
You think so?
Home games. Baltimore, KC, Philly, Cincy, and Tampa. All of them home. Yeah. Road games. They're playing 5 bad 2024 teams, plus Atlanta. They're at Houston, and they're at Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Other than at Houston, which I think will be tough, especially with Houston's defense, they might not play an above 500 team on the road. Yeah. And then they have all these people coming to them.
Bill Simmons, the league is stacked the schedule for the Bills. We all know that's not actually possible. The schedule is determined
years in advance.
Yeah. It's a rotation. Sometimes it falls for you. I think you might be half kidding, but no, the league has not stacked the schedule for the Bills.
No, they have not done that. The only thing they control is the timing of the games. I don't know why, like, where they put them would make you say that.
Right. Week from today, Eagles, Cowboys. How about week four, Sunday Night Football, Packers at Cowboys?
Well, that's going to be awesome.
That's pretty good.
At Cowboys, too?
At Cowboys. Parsons gets four sacks. Don't we want that?
Oh, yeah. Will he get a tribute video? They don't really do those in the NFL, right? Everyone's going to want to be betting Parsons to get, like, multiple sacks in that game, for sure. Although, does Dak take sacks? Not really, right? I think he's usually one of the – I actually don't remember where he is on that. But I'd pick Green Bay to win that game in week four.
Yep.
Oh, and how many – the best over-unders, if you can get them, I don't think you can do this in New York State, would be, like, find some crazy site that'll be like, how many times Jerry Jones gets shown in the press box on television? Over-under 9.5.
Yeah.
Like, every time he makes any play whatsoever, camera goes to Jerry Jones.
The Bills tried out some kickers yesterday. Jordan Schultz reported that. Three kickers coming in for a tryout.
Yeah.
So that's not good. Right? That's not good. Without...
Probably not. It could just be they want to know who they call if something happens to Bass during the season. Right?
I don't think so.
Try him out now so that, hey, Bass got hurt on the Saturday before the game. They know which guy they like. They know who they're calling. They know who to get on a plane right away because they've already done the homework on them.
I don't think so.
You don't think that's it?
No, I don't. I don't think that's
it. Then what's happening to Bass?
I think that one of the things I saw about him kicking against the Bucs, I mean, did he look right?
He had a goofy, and he made 5 of 6, right?
But the one he missed, he had a goofy ball flight on the one. I saw, maybe they're internet doctors, but it is what it is, noticing that his follow-through on the kicks appeared to be kind of an abbreviated follow-through.
Okay.
Like he was kicking through something. He's got a pelvis injury, right? Like that was it. He had pelvis soreness.
Yeah.
Was the story?
Pelvis soreness. And he was out a while.
Yeah. I just feel like trying out three kickers now is a sign that, like, maybe Bass had a setback. Maybe not. You could be right. It's a little concerning. It's a little bit antenna up. The thing about any sort of injury right now, Bass went 3 of 4 kicking, by the way.
3 of 4.
Three
okay.
of four. And 2 of 2 for extra points. But the thing about right now is we don't get injury statuses yet. Wednesday is when that happens.
Right.
So is he on the injury report on Wednesday? And we'll have to see. They don't have a kicker on the practice squad. That's the next step, is they've added a kicker to the practice squad because they don't know how Bass is feeling right now. They'll see how he feels on Wednesday. He can rest until Wednesday would be my guess. And then now it's an injury designation. If a kicker's added to the practice squad, then I'm all right. Keep an eye out.
Okay.
You ready for the entire season and one seed to come down to Eddie Pinheiro kicking a field goal in week one? Anybody else ready for that?
I would not want to take that at all. I mean, I do wonder if Bass will become a story again this year if he doesn't improve off of what he did last year. I mean, I tend to think he was down to his last kick with the Bills when he kicked a 60-yard field goal to beat the Dolphins. He had missed an extra point in that game. The trade deadline was that week. Mm. And it didn't sound like they were closed off to replacing him. But then he made a 61-yard field goal to beat the Dolphins, and it's, well, there goes that. So I would wonder even, too, about, like, maybe it could be injury-related or just performance-related, what the future would hold for him. Because you look at his numbers now throughout his career, like, kickers in the league in the last 5 years, and he's near the bottom. Like, field goal percentage, extra point percentage. Like, he's nowhere near the top kickers in the league. So maybe it is injury related. I didn't even think of the injury part of it when you said that, because I know he's been practicing and he'd been back, but is he also fiddling with his follow through because the guy hits slices on his kicks for the last 3 years and he's trying to hit a draw?
I don't know. Wednesday's a big day next week. Injury designations, whether that's Trey White, Khalil Shakir.
Would you
Bass.
Take Eddie Pinheiro from 41 yards to go to the Super Bowl? 803-0550. 41 yards? Is that the right number? Zane Gonzalez from 43. What do you say?
I mean, I guess I got to find out Eddie Pinheiro's career make percentage from 40, mm-hmm. 43. Where is the game? Here?
Yes. The game's here. The Super Bowl is on Pinheiro's foot. Who, by the way, I think he goes back to Chris Tabor, because we had Chris Tabor on. I think you mentioned him. So that could be a part of it, too.
Cowboys trading Micah Parsons to the Packers for two firsts and a defensive lineman. And Jerry Jones says we have to stop the run. And it's in the best interest of their organization. Good luck to them.
Is that Saquon Barkley living in their heads a little bit?
Could be.
Did they make that trade? Because what did Barkley do against them last year? Is that where we should be looking for why they did this? Because Barkley ran all over them a couple of times last year. I think there was at least one game where I remember him going off against Dallas.
He went for, against Dallas, 31 for 167.
31 carries.
Right.
Okay.
5.4 yards per carry. But, yeah, 31 for 167. No touchdowns. And then the other game, 14 for 66 and no touchdowns.
That doesn't sound like
that. Doesn't sound like it, yeah.
So.
Anyway.
Just, what a trade.
803-0550. 1-888-550-2550. Been following on Twitter, there's a couple different things here, like Bills podcaster Zbot, who does a show on the Bills. He's got some information on the Bills rivalry uniforms, that three players will be available when this mm-hmm. thing launches, and also the different levels of the jersey. There's a standard jersey, and then there's the Vapor Fuse Limited version, which I guess is the more game on-field thing. So standard is 150, and the level up is 200. But the three players that will be available at launch, according to Zbot, it's Josh Allen, Keon Coleman, and Dalton Kincaid. Those are the three. Which I think is a big miss to not have Dawkins available. And it might also be a big miss to not have...
Dawkins is the snowman. How is he not one of those included?
I know.
That is nuts.
These are three jerseys, though. When you're picking what you're going to sell, because this rivalries campaign is at least 3 years, and you'd be hard-pressed to find players you're more confident will be on the team for three more years than Allen, Coleman. Kincaid is a little bit dicier, but still, I think he will be. Defensively, who's on this team in 3 years? Hairston?
Who's next? Rousseau?
Bernard?
Again,
Benford. So if it's to pick those three players, like if his information he's got is correct, like
But it doesn't, like, Coleman and Kincaid don't have to be that. Like, I wouldn't buy their jerseys right now. I have no idea what that's going to look like
for in 3 years.
For 3 years from now, they don't have to pay Kincaid. That doesn't go well this year.
Well, this year's the time to decide about the fifth-year option on Kincaid.
After this year,
it's the fifth-year option. What are you going to do?
Right, and if he has 500 yards and I've bought a jersey for Dalton Kincaid, I'm probably feeling like that's not one that's going to last very long. I would think. I wouldn't buy his jersey right now. Coleman's, I'd be more open to it just because of the extra year. But I'm also not the type that would ever get the Josh Allen jersey. Just everybody's got it. It'll stand out a little bit.
I want
the jersey nobody's got.
I was trying to think of the safety they just signed to the practice squad that wasn't Poyer.
I don't want to go that.
The other one.
I keep forgetting his name. Franklin.
Yeah.
I don't want to go that deep with it. But Ty Johnson.
Here's a question on the rivalries merchandise. Honest question. What can I spray the hat or hoodie or jersey that I buy? Can I spray it with anything so that I don't get barbecue sauce on my new jersey? Because that's the one downfall. That thing is all white. And someone that has two kids that are four and a child that's also just over one,
right.
I won't even pick up the one-year-old if I'm wearing a shirt that I don't want to get something immediately on the shoulder. Immediately
so you're
covered
trying
in
to waterproof it, basically?
I'm trying to
stain-proof
it. Scotch guard work here? I'm trying to make sure that I don't get blueberries on my shoulder of my brand new snow jersey. And like, oh, I guess it's ruined now. Because it'll take approximately one day for me to get a stain on that jersey.
There's like 16 options on Amazon.
Yeah,
just from a
fabric
quick
protector?
Yep, yeah. Scotch guard was one of them, yeah.
I feel like...
But how effective is that going to be?
It does show a chair on the can.
Okay.
So but it says fabric. So
what's the
what kind of fabric? That's the
Can
that's
I
the
laminate question. This jersey and then just kind of
get a clear coat?
Oh, that's what I'll do. I'll wear
like a plastic protective cover over it.
I'll just always wear a poncho, a clear trash bag over it. So I'm still wearing it, but it's kind of in the case.
Or you could just get really good at like getting stains out of jerseys.
I don't know. There's some things that do not come out.
Give it a shot. I mean,
803-0550 to join us.
Just wear it in the like the winter only when, you know, no mud around. Like that, I would never wear that jersey in like the spring, for instance. More likely. Like well, outside, if you, the if kids you did, running around, if you wore you know, muddy spring, hands.
If you wore it in the spring, wouldn't you think people would look at you and think, this guy really likes winter? He's wearing a snow jersey.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Like, that's not a jersey you would wear to training. I mean, you could wear it wherever you want.
I feel like it's so white, I don't want to wear it anywhere. Yeah. That's part of the problem.
Put up on a wall.
Hey, join Khalil Shakir and Northtown Toyota tomorrow. Shakir Family Pet Adoption Event Saturday, August 30th. That's tomorrow. 11 to 3 at Northtown Toyota, Millersport Highway in Amherst. 1135 Millersport Highway. Lovable pets ready for adoption from local rescues. Grab bites from food trucks. Shop local vendors. Enjoy giveaways, raffles, and live entertainment. All for a great cause benefiting Nickel City Canine Rescue, Awesome Paws Rescue, and Buddy's Second Chance. Hey, it's contest time. Be caller 5 to win a pair of tickets to National Buffalo Wing Fest happening this weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Plus 2 Wing Fest t-shirts courtesy of Buffalo Wing Fest. For event hours and tickets, visit buffalowing.com. Pair of tickets to caller 5 to 2214WGR. Love Wing Fest. Ever tell you about the time I shared a stage with Joey Chestnut at the Wing Fest?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
At Wingfest?
At Wingfest.
Was it like a one-on-one wing eating contest?
No, it was the full wing eating contest, and they put up like, you know, local celebrities are allowed to go on the stage.
Yeah, not to compete, just to be up there.
I mean to compete.
Oh, okay. So you did. Oh, you did.
I was up there and I ate like 7 wings. I was because
yeah.
This is the thing. If you know you're not going to actually try to win, well, you'll just have some wings.
You didn't want to put a respectable number up there. Did you finish in last?
I don't even know.
I would just want to not finish last.
There are other local.
I can't imagine many
goofballs like me.
How much time did you get?
However much time they get, 5-10 minutes.
You could 7 wings in 10 minutes.
I was just eating wings.
That's a Thursday for me.
I was just on. I don't know if the number was 7. It was not a memorable number. I was sharing a stage with a great.
Wait, so. If it's that few, like, you didn't walk off the stage at some point, right?
No.
In the middle? Like,
12 minutes.
12 minutes.
12 minutes.
I probably ate, like, 10 wings.
So you just, like, were just sitting there, like, feet up, like, looking around, just eating wings, one at a time.
I was standing.
Or standing.
It's like asking.
Like, it's so casual eating 7 that, like, unless you ate 7 and then stopped, is what I'm saying. If you paced out, 7 over 12 minutes is like.
I probably just kind of picked at it. I grazed.
That's bad wings per 60.
That is bad wings per 60.
Wait, might, no,
might
it's not. It might be the worst
that's
ever.
That's 35 wings per 60.
Yeah, but compared to other people. Like,
well, I'm not trying to win the competition. What do you think? I'm going to go in there and upset Joey Chestnut? I'm not Grimsby Town against Man U.
How many did he eat?
I don't know. Check out the number. 2012 Wing Fest, Joey Chestnut. He won. I think he won. Might have been the Black Widow, actually, back then. And Badlands Booker was there.
Let's see. He ate... I'm sorry. I just got a list of his records in general. Hard-boiled eggs was the first thing that came up.
2012 is my guess, the year.
He had 141 hard-boiled eggs.
Yikes.
182 chicken wings in 30 minutes.
They don't get 30 minutes.
12 minutes, 220 wings.
What?
He did that in 2017.
Okay. I'm 2012.
So that was his record. So he must have been. I'm sure he was close to that in 2012.
2012 is a guess. I'm at the Major League Eating page for results. Okay, it was Sonia Thomas.
Hey, are you listed?
No, in 2011, it was the Black Widow, Sonia Thomas. So Joey finished in second.
Okay. Well, he didn't even win it.
No. And when they do wings, they do weight.
Okay.
Oh, look at this. My name is on this board.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Now I. I had no idea until right now
that it, there is a box score
that at MajorLeagueEating.com, I ate 13 wings.
No, that you placed in 13th. You ate 0.85 pounds of wings.
0.85 pounds. But that's just of the meat. They weigh it before and then they weigh it after. So however cleanly you pick them. Yeah. Sonia Thomas ate
0.85.
I was out.
What a joke.
Hold on a second. I was eating wings during the day before that. I was at Wing Fest. I was actually, whatever. Get out of here.
Where is this? Where is this box score? I can't find this.
MajorLeagueEating.com/contests/441.
Okay.
Sonia the Black Widow Thomas. Second place, Joey Chestnut. Pat Bertoletti. See the Buffalo guy? I think he is. Third.
Okay.
Badlands Booker 4.
Gotcha. And yeah, you're listed here. You finished in last by more. You had less than half of what the next closest person had.
Yeah.
Put up a fight, right? A little bit.
It might not be too late to get you on the stage this year.
I'll do better than
Drew Serza right now.
I'll do better than 0.85 pounds.
You're talking a big game over here.
I can tell you that.
It's not about if you beat me. It's about you have to beat somebody else. You're saying you won't finish in last.
How many wings is 2 pounds? Because that's what second last was here.
It's not 2 pounds with the bones. It's straight 2 pounds of chicken cleaned off of chicken bones.
Right, that's right.
Could you eat 2 pounds of chicken in...
In 12 minutes?
In 12 minutes.
If I really needed to.
Of course,
I could. Of course I could.
But if you know I'm not actually going to win this competition, I'm just kind of up there as a stunt because I'm a goofball, you might just hang out and eat some wings.
I still would want to overperform for those that had the over.
I can't believe there's documentation of this. I had no idea that the name was actually there. September 4th.
Your name is at 8MajorLeagueEating.com.
That's right.
Does that make you a professional athlete?
I think I'm a professional eater now.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right. Man, what a day for me. What a Friday.
You're only 6 pounds from the lead.
5.5, please.
5.5.
You gotta add this to the Twitter bio.
That's right. 13th.
Placed 13th.
Placed 13th in the national wing eating contest. Yeah, Joe, you got one of those? You have a top 15 finish in a national eating contest? I don't think so. I don't think you do.
All right. What a day. 803-0550 on WGR.